Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. That's the place where you go and you click on the donate button and you send one. You can send shekels, you can send dollars. Won. That is the North Korean currency. It's also the South Korean currency. I don't think RBN accepts the North Korean currency. It's pretty hard to get that changed. Maybe Bitcoin. Okay. I'm live today. I've not been live as often as I usually am the past couple of weeks, and probably not for the next few weeks because I'm kind of busy with my normie work. But today I'm live, and Mr. T's at the controls. He's got his dog mittens on with the prosthetic thumbs, you know, good for spinning those knobs. I'm taking calls. The number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And today, I want to talk about North Korea. I always want to talk about North Korea. I want to talk about that meeting with the God Emperor Donald Trump and the revered Supreme Commander, Comrade Kim Jong-un. Very historic meeting. First time you all know this. Everybody's saying this. First time an American president has met a North Korean leader. It's kind of funny because, you know, our presidents, they seems like they're always meeting the leaders of, may I say, Stolia, I think I can say that on RBN, of these various dunghole countries from all over the world, but never North Korea. I wonder why that is. Well, we had no relations with North Korea. North Korea's become a giant boogeyman, a great enemy. But things are different now. I think that yesterday was the biggest day of the Donald Trump presidency. It was the Donald Trump I voted for and the Donald Trump I have not been seeing. I was able to watch as much as possible. They didn't let me into the meetings, obviously, but I watched a lot of coverage from a lot of different sources. And, you know, you would see, well, there was a lot that was in front of the cameras. So you saw them walking together for that first handshake and then walking into the room where they got to sit together before they were going to have their 40-minute discussion one-on-one just with their translators first. And that's interesting. You saw the working meeting, what was it called? The expanded meeting. They had the expanded meeting where, along with their translators, they each had three aides. And so you got a little bit of, there was some photo op at the beginning of that, a little bit of talking. And then you saw them shuffle from there over to the luncheon venue, and more aides joined. I think wound up being seven for America, eight for North Korea. You know, you could see a lot from the body language. And then afterwards, they came out and were preparing for that, the signing of the memorandum, which was interesting. It was interesting. I watched, it was the only time I saw Bolton speak, but they were milling around in front of this hotel in Singapore. And I want to, you know, there's a lot of details I want to talk about. I observed some things which I thought didn't think they would necessarily be of interest to you, my dear listeners. But on the Stormfront show earlier today, I was talking about some things and I got a very good response. People thought it was interesting. A little bit about myself. You know, if you listen to this show, that some of the bumper music I use is North Korean, that I'm a fan of North Korean music, that bumper music I recorded sometime, oh, 30, 35 years ago, at least. Recorded it from Radio Pyongyang. And I wasn't in North Korea, but it's a very strong signal. You can hear it in Japan, you can hear it in South Korea when they don't have, when they're not jamming it. See, they usually do jam, and you can hear it in the Soviet or the Russian Far East, and I was sometimes in the Russian Far East. You can hear it in China. In fact, they have a good shortwave. Radio Pyongyang has a shortwave service, which, you know, if you're lucky, you can hear it pretty much anywhere in the world if you have good equipment. But I recorded the music. I like the music. And I like, you know, when I go to sleep, I like to play music. I like to play music that is good sleepy music, you know, usually not rock and roll. Usually not symphony music. The symphony music, you know, it'll be soft and then it swells, and when it swells, it wakes me up again. That North Korean music, it's good. It's constant. It's kind of, it's eerie. It's good sleepy music. So I often play it when I'm going to sleep. Now the thing is, and maybe some of you have the same experience. If you have music on or talk on while you're sleeping, sometimes it invades your dreams, right? So, you know, so sometimes I'm having these dreams, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, sitting in a conference room with not Kim Jong-un, but Kim Jong-il, his father, you know. So sometimes I'd be having these dreams about his father. And when I used to teach, I must have mentioned this once, and one of my students, a young woman, said she accused me of having a man crush on Kim Jong-il, the father of the current ruler, which I was amused by. I'd never heard that term before, and I was amused by it. Of course, you know, early in my academic career, I did a lot of writing and research on North Korea and on the Kim family, and I was actually very harsh on them, because it's a harshly ruled country. You know, dissidents are not tolerated. You know, I don't have illusions about it. But here's something I will say, and I will repeat later in the show. They may be harsh on their own people, but they're not replacing their own people. Unlike the United States and Canada and Europe and Australia, they're not replacing their people. We're being replaced. We're not going to have a country if trends continue. We're not going to have a country. That's not happening in North Korea. So say what you may, but Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il, Kim Il-sung have not replaced their own population with a foreign imported population. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So I do have this history with following North Korea, and I followed a lot in the 80s and the 90s. And I studied the Korean language. I never got fluent at it, really, but you know, I can have conversations with people who have patience, I'll put it that way. And my pronunciation tends to be pretty good. I have a reasonable vocabulary, but a lot of basic words, like the kind of words that little kids learn. I was never a little kid in Korea, so I don't know those words. And those tend to be kind of important. But I like it. So, you know, I'm not going to pass myself off as a leading expert on North Korea, but I do have a background with it and studying it and its internal politics and the Kim family. And, you know, the internal politics, you have these three institutions of power. One is the Kim family. The other is the ruling North Korean Workers' Party, the Workers' Party. And then the other is the military. And I will probably have more to say about that that later. But what I really want to talk about today is that amazing meeting yesterday. And I'm not privy to much of what was said. In the actual meetings, and a lot of that I'm sure will be revealed, and not some of it won't be revealed. But I think a lot of what was going on, the what you might call the metadata around the conference, the body language that was used in front of the cameras was very interesting, and also what Kim Jong-un did the night before was very interesting. Maybe I should talk about that first. And I do invite callers. I think this is a fun thing to talk about. Again, it's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. The meeting was held in Singapore, and Singapore was chosen in part because it has diplomatic relations both with North Korea and with the United States. It's in Southeast Asia. It's down by the equator, so it's not that close to North Korea, but it is kind of in, North Korea's, I would say North Korea kind of had a home court advantage because it is only, what would it be, a one time zone difference from North Korea. So it would be an 8 or 9 hour flight from North Korea, which is not insignificant, but there wouldn't be jet lag involved. With Donald Trump, and I think he mentioned at one point that he had been awake for, more than 24 hours. For Donald Trump, Singapore, I believe, is that a 12-hour time difference? I mean, it's just the difference of night and day, literally, the difference of night and day. So Donald Trump was conducting these talks in what would have been the morning and midday local time, going, and his press conference, which would have started, I guess, at 4, would have run maybe 4 to 5 local time. This would be all the middle of the night. So that for Donald Trump, he was staying up and doing this all in the middle of the night. And, of course, Donald Trump is more than twice Kim Jong-un's age. Donald Trump is on the eve of his 72nd birthday, and Kim Jong-un is only 34. And so there you go. Donald Trump would talk on the election stump, on the campaign trail. He would talk about his doubting that Hillary Clinton had the stamina to be president. And I think he showed remarkable stamina, because not only, he wasn't resting up Hillary style for this, because remember, he flew directly from that G7 summit in Quebec City in Canada all the way over to Singapore, a very long flight, and then, no sleep, and yet he was on top of his game. He was very much in charge, and on these diplomatic meetings, there's a lot of protocol involved, and they try to make people seem very equal. There's a lot of protocol involved, and yet Donald Trump seemed to be almost his own protocol chief. It was funny, you saw him before the meal, and he was pointing out who should sit where. I mean, usually other people are deciding that, but he's pointing out who should sit where, perhaps because he didn't want John Bolton sitting next to him. He was also talking about where the cameramen should stand so that everybody looks handsome. He wanted everybody to look handsome, and I think he said handsome and tanned. But, he was just giving instructions. And to Kim, the young Kim, just giving instructions, where to stand, where to go. Oh, this is the door we go in. And of course, Trump doesn't speak Korean and Kim doesn't speak English. And there was usually Trump had, I guess the American translator was this Korean American woman middle-aged woman, and she was sitting next to him in the expanded talks, sitting between Trump and General Kelly. And the North Koreans had their own translator. But there was a time even where the, I guess it was for a photo op for, 30 seconds to a minute, Trump and Kim were strolling along this path separated from their translators. And Trump is talking the whole time. Well, it is kind of an American thing to do, just to talk in English to anybody, regardless of whether or not they understand. And, Kim, it kind of vacillated between having this bewildered look on his face and then smiling and then like maybe pointing at rocks in the garden, pointing at things and it's a photo op. That's not negotiations. It's a photo op. But Trump was just in charge and all the way to the press conference, he had this press conference. And in his statements, he made some very important points. One of the points he made was that the United States was going to stop what he called the war games, these military exercises. But he referred to them as war games, pointedly. And, of course, when the talks were originally agreed to, North Korea said that it would halt its testing of weapons, of the nuclear tests and the missiles. It said it would halt those tests, and the United States said, well, it would actually carry out its military exercises. It would not halt its military exercises. But Trump said, now they're going to stop these military exercises. And this is very Trumpian here. He said it's going to save us an enormous amount of money, that these military exercises, the war games are very, very expensive, so we're going to save a great deal of money. I thought that was a very interesting rationale. But then he went on and said, and of course they're very provocative. And of course that's the whole idea behind them. I know that I have people – I was never in the military, and I have people in the audience who were in the military and know more about the military than I do and may say, well, you're always rotating people in and out of these military bases overseas, and so you have to have the exercises every year because, people – it's new people engaging in them year after year, and so you have to keep it up. And I can see that there's a point to that, but really, these are very, very provocative to have these military exercises. And of course, when you've got these planes that are flying just off the North Korean coast, and the warships and everything, something that's an exercise could turn into an attack in a moment. Without a moment's notice. Okay, well, we're coming up on break. I have a couple of callers now, and I will be going to my callers when we come back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Could a country that makes such nice music be all bad, really? Hey, before we go to our callers, I just want to say, Kosher-tified. Go to the kosherquestion.com and download the app. It is the app that will help you keep kosher or not and help you save the world. Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Slattery. Glad that you took my call today. First of all, I'm utterly appalled that you weren't invited to the summit. What's going on with these people? They must not listen to your telephones enough.
You know, honestly, when Donald Trump was elected president, he set up this website. He said he had to fill, you know, thousands of government posts. And I did send in an application, and I asked to be considered for a position in the State Department handling North Korea. And I never got a response, but, you know, that's the way these things go. I don't expect him to reach out to a so-called deplorable neo-Nazi white supremacist. We're not allowed in, but you know, I look at the people who are there. I think I certainly know a lot more about this than John Bolton, and I think I know more about it than that Matt Pattinger, who is fluent in he's fluent in Chinese, but I don't think I think he's a Jew. I'm not sure. He was one of the aides there at the luncheon, and his father used to date Gloria Steinem. So anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, actually, Michael Bolton, as we discussed, would be better than John Bolton, and no
yes,
more.
Indeed.
But that was already discussed.
And more Jewish,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. There you go. One of their own.
But, yeah.
Yeah, interesting you brought up body language. You know, my girlfriend and I have been watching this YouTube channel. It used to be called Bombard's Body Language. Very fascinating. It's a female that analyzes body languages of historical peoples and present famous people. she actually did a really good analysis of Dr. Duke and kind of portrayed him in a positive light. And then she did one of Adolf Hitler as well. And I think that got her showed. So she's under a new channel. Yeah.
Adolf Hitler had body language, and he was very conscious of it. There might have been body language he wasn't conscious of, but Goebbels really helped him with his gesticulations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this female that ran the YouTube channel, I mean, she wasn't an explicit white nationalist, but she was very honest, and she analyzed Dr. Duke, and she goes, you know, this guy goes on a lot too much about the Jews, but I kind of think what he has to say is correct. And it makes sense. And I think that's probably what got her showed. But she's back now under the phrase ghost, body language ghost. And I was waiting for her to do an analysis of this summit, and it's not up yet, but she did one of the G7 summit with Trump and Canadian Trudeau guy. And she really, pointed out Trudeau there. She really pointed out that this guy is totally, like, she didn't say gay, but, I mean, she might as well have, like, submissive. She used the term submissive a lot, and especially next to Trump.
Do you know his background, his father and his mother? Do you know much about them?
I don't know a lot about him. I mean, just what I've read, some of the stuff I've read on The Stormer about him, and then I haven't really did really looked him up.
His father was the prime minister for about 15 years, I think from about 1969 to 68 to 84, and then there was 1 year in the middle where he wasn't prime minister. But his father, became prime minister in 1969, I think the following year. The father would have been well into his 50s at that point. And the following year, he married a very, very young woman who was like 20, 21, Margaret Trudeau. I think her name was Margaret, who then started carrying on with like the Rolling Stones. And she was like a groupie and with Mick Jagger. And I'm going to repeat this joke. I think I'd said it on. I said it somewhere recently, but there was a joke, a Canadian joke, where you see the Canadians actually had arrested Michael Jackson, Mick Jagger for public urination. And so the joke went, Prime Minister, we have some good news and some bad news. And he says, well, what's the good news? He says, well, we've arrested Mick Jagger for urinating his name in the snow. And, oh, well, that's good news. What's the bad news? Well, his name was in your wife's handwriting.
Well, I mean, any female interested in Trudeau is obviously a beard, so let's get that out there. But, yeah, I wanted to make a statement. Talking about body language, you all did a great analysis on Stormfront this morning, talking about, Kim Jong-un sometimes appearing confident, sometimes like a little kid. I just wanted to give you my take on this, and it's going to require some speculation, but I think you've allowed me, you've given me some leeway in that department.
And we might be coming up on break, but if we do, I want you to hold over. But, yeah, why don't you start off now? Oh, no, we're coming up on break. So
all right.
We'll be back with your speculation.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery, and I'm talking to Jeremy about the big Trump-Kim Jong-un meeting yesterday, and you are going to speculate.
Yeah, before I get started, first of all, I have a lot invested in Trump. Present tense, have a lot invested, even though he's let me down. I did a lot to spread the word and get my friends to vote for him and did some campaigning. Because he was all we had, and his platform is what we voted for. So it did my heart good to see him out there representing well. I will say that. But I just wanted to throw out a speculation in light of my running theory of left and right Jewish power and how that right-wing Jewish power is behind Trump right now and is cooperating with him. You might say he's a hostage president, or he could have been dirty from the get-go. Who knows? But, you go back to George Bush, President George Bush the Younger, talking about the axis of evil, North Korea, Iran, and Iraq, correct? Those three nations.
Right, so, and that axis of evil, that line was written by David Frum, a Jewish Canadian who was a speechwriter mm-hmm. for him, and it's still around, and it's accepted in polite company for some bizarre reason.
Yes, and it's... So, obviously some psychological stuff going on with the public, trying to bring us back to World War II. But Iraq was easy. They were fairly easy to topple, just a little shock and awe. Everybody was still red-hot mad about 9/11, so we go in there and we knock them out. North Korea and Iran, a little bit more difficult, okay? North Korea, I believe, Kim Jong-un became the main guy in 2011, if I understand correctly.
Right, when his father died.
Right, when his father died. So the father was probably wiser, a little more maybe shrewd. They were maybe a little more afraid of him because they don't want to go in and make this an all-out nuclear. I mean, South Korea mm-hmm. could be terribly punished. So in other words, the powers, the Jewish powers, want to handle North Korea a little differently. It's not the same thing as Iraq. And even Iran. I really believe that they thought they could... get Iran and take them down already through this Syria thing, but that's kind of had a wrench thrown in the works. So with this new guy in North Korea now, I mean, and with him signing these papers, you know, he's young. He's maybe westernized a little bit more. He likes this power. He likes the wealth. And he doesn't want to give that up. So Trump has Bolton say, rattle the sabers, say some scary stuff, and then Trump rushes in and is like, oh, no, no, we're going to handle this. They get Kim to sign whatever. I mean, whatever they had him sign, what I'm proposing is that it's in line with the right-wing Jews. It's maybe some sort of financial agreement, maybe something that has to do with their central bank. Something that says, Kim, you play ball with us, guess what? You get to keep this fame and fortune and power. That's my take on it. Your thoughts?
Well, okay, so I saw what was signed. You know, after Trump signed it, he held it up. And cameras are good enough now that there were pictures of, you know, high-definition pictures of it taken with him holding it up, and it was legible. And so what – and then, of course, later, like a few hours later, copies of the documents were distributed to the press. And so what was actually signed really didn't go very far. It was just, you know, some goodwill, some reiteration of pledges made earlier about denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula, which, of course, includes North Korea, but it also includes the American forces in South Korea. The Americans, including myself, have underestimated the Kim family in the past. My early research was before – it was when Kim Jong-un's grandfather was still alive and still in charge, and he had been grooming his son, Kim Jong-un's father, a man named Kim Jong-il, to be his successor. And Kim Jong-il had a reputation as a playboy, and I didn't think he was going to be able to consolidate power. And it was, you know, after Kim Il-sung died that the Americans really were testing North Korea. And, you know, they were pressuring it, and they came up with this agreement to have North Korea dismantle its nuclear reactor, and then the Americans and the Japanese would build a new one for it. Well, North Koreans shut down their nuclear reactor, and then the Clinton administration and later the Bush administration just dragged their feet and never even break ground on it. And, you know, the American reporters yesterday were saying, oh, well, North Korea is always breaking its promises. It's the opposite. The North Koreans kept their promise. They shut down their reactor. They joined the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. And the Americans, by the project was supposed to be completed by 2000, and ground hadn't even been broken on it. And I do think you're correct that they were, when Kim Jong-il died and Kim Jong-un took over, he was only 26, and they were testing him. And I think a lot of there was a lot of testing. I don't think this is, you know, Korea is not as high a priority for Jews as Russia is, as the Middle East is, you know, Syria, as immigration is. It's actually rather low on their priority list. I don't think there is a right-wing or left-wing Jewish lobby for improved relations with Korea. I think this is a little bit, I could be wrong. I don't know any more about what's going on behind the scenes than you do. But I think it's kind of, you know, what we see is yeah, I'm reading this at taking it at face value that, you made the point that he wants to keep his wealth, and you know that's part of it. But giving up his wealth and power could be tantamount to giving up his life. If you look at Saddam Hussein, if you look at Muammar Gaddafi, you look at Ceausescu in Romania. When these people lose power, things don't work out well for them, and I think that's why President Assad has been fighting. You know, he probably sees his life at stake. And you look at Kim Jong-un, and he was 26 when he took over. There were rivals, uncles. He had his aunt's husband was a potential successor, and he wound up having him executed. And, you know, that's very harsh. That's hardball politics. But what was the alternative for him? It might have been being executed by his uncle. So,
yeah. And of course, you know, there's the paper that they let us see what they signed, and then there's the back deal, the back room phone call negotiations that we don't know about.
That's true.
Who knows? I get the feeling of someone in Kim's place who is like, you know, I remember what happened to Gaddafi, and Bolton said all these scary things, and then Trump rushes in. That's kind of where I was going with it. I think the right wing Jewish power would rather negotiate with Iran and Korea, North Korea, and bring them in to the fold via negotiations. And I think your left wing crazies like the Clinton camp would rather have pushed the envelope with North Korea and with Iran and just went all out war. And let's just hope that Trump, you know, prevails and maybe could pull off a similar diplomatic issue with Iran and Syria. Who knows? But those are my thoughts on the matter. And if you have any other comments, I'll listen to you. And if not, we can get on to the next caller.
Well, this is going to continue. There are going to be more meetings, and we're going to have plenty of chances to talk about this. And I think it's a very positive development. Thanks a lot for your call, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Okay. And next, let's go to Jim in Kansas. Jim, welcome to the show.
Are the Kims Mormons? I mean, I heard that, I think it was on RBN, that like the grandfather of this guy that's in there now was in cahoots with the Mormons.
Kim Il-sung? No, and I've read an awful lot about Kim Il-sung. And of course, you know, there's a lot written about him and a lot of it's contradictory. I've never heard him referred to as a Mormon or any kind of Christian. But there are there's certainly a lot of Christians in North Korea. Pyongyang was at least 20% Christian during World War II, you know, up until the Korean War. And Christianity is tolerated as long as it doesn't get political.
Okay. There used to be a congressman named Jim Slattery from Topeka, Kansas, who looked a lot like Bobby Kennedy. Are you a cousin of his?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But I have a lot of cousins I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'll hang up and let somebody else talk. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks for your call. All right. Well, our lines are open if you want to call. We have the lines open at, let's get back to the call-in number. That is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So at the press conference, I mentioned I thought it was interesting, Trump talking about stopping the war games, save money, not to be provocative. It was also very interesting that he said he wants to bring the American troops home from South Korea, right? I mean, he talked about bringing the troops home. He didn't use the terms close our bases, right? It was bringing the troops home. And, of course, this is in line with what he was saying on the campaign trail, but we haven't been hearing much of this as president. There used to be about 50,000 troops in South Korea. Now I guess it's down to about 32,000. And some of the bases have been closed. You know, they had land prices in many Korean cities have just gone through the roof. And I think of Seoul. And there was a base in Seoul, Yongsan base. And it was right in the middle of Seoul, and it was so expansive. And, you know, you go off the base, and it was just, you know, these crowded apartments. It was just everything was crowded. But on the base, it was just American suburbia. And that type of thing would create a lot of resentment. So closing down the bases and withdrawing the troops, it would be welcome not just by the North Koreans. It would be welcome by a lot of South Koreans. So that was interesting. Now, the reporters started asking questions, and you know, one of the reporters was, I guess the first reporter was questioning about North Korea's commitment to denuclearization. And, you know, Trump was saying, look, it's complete, right? A complete nuclear denuclearization. But a buzzword that's been going around is CVID, which I guess is complete, verifiable, irrevocable disarmament. So irrevocable? You know, here's the thing. Okay, verifiable, of course, you know, trust and verify. Irrevocable, it's such a joke. How can you irrevocable means you can't go back. How can you not go? Are you going to tell the Koreans, okay, they use their scientific and engineering skills to figure out how to build nuclear weapons, how to build intercontinental ballistic missiles? Irrevocable. What are you going to do? You're going to say, okay, you have to forget how to be good at science? It's such a joke. Nothing's irrevocable. South Korea and Japan, for instance, they have nuclear power industries. They both have space programs. If you have a nuclear power industry and you have a space program, you can slap together a nuclear weapon in a hurry. So don't talk to me about irrevocable. That is such a joke. Irrevocable, it's not even a joke. It's just a means of blocking any progress. It, for people who don't want an agreement, don't want progress, then you demand it to be irrevocable. There's no such thing. You know, in the 1940s, how long did it take the Manhattan Project? About 3 years to build a bomb, 3 or 4 years. When they had to pioneer all of the technology. Now, of course, all the technology is in textbooks. And you get Koreans who are very good at textbooks. They're very good at this stuff. You know, Koreans are pretty good engineers. They do build subway tunnels that collapse. And the North Koreans have it. The South Koreans build tunnels that collapse. The North Koreans have a massive hotel that's never been occupied because engineering problems. But still, pretty good engineers, make some mistakes here and there. Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine now.
Okay, great. I noticed you said something earlier that you hadn't been on in a while. Did you get a chance to talk about that report that said the United States was experiencing a 109-year low in fertility?
109-year low? I can't imagine 109 years ago what would have made it so low back then. But
well, yeah, exactly. Of course, you can read obituaries from people that are 70, 80, 90 years old, and they're one of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Absolutely.
Or even 13 siblings.
Yeah.
And so you said something about North Korea is not replacing their population. It's my understanding Japan and France and Spain and several countries, I guess including the United States, are having to come up with creative ways, I guess, to try to incentivize young people making babies.
Yeah.
Because they're just not doing it.
And, yeah, Singapore, too.
Know, if you've seen the movie Idiocracy, you know, that's kind of what that deals with, is the devolution of people that are paying attention and are too smart to contribute to this society by breeding.
That's right.
You know,
interesting movie. There's a movie, a novel called The Marching Morons. And if you liked Idiocracy, you might like The Marching Morons. It's from the 1950s, but dealing with the same problem.
Well, I think there's a perfect storm.
If you want to hang on till after the break, please hang on.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mike from Kentucky. You're still with us?
Yeah, I wish I could remember the country artist that did a song that sounded like that last musical clip. That's North Korean?
No, that's Jewish. That's
I was going to say.
It's Ava Nagila played by banjos.
Yeah. There was a little skinny girl and a guy with a big ear thing. It was kind of unconventional country, urban country or something, country music that had a banjo click going on like that in a song not too long ago. It was definitely outside the normal genre of country music.
But it's actually a popular song for these banjo bands.
I guess. What I was going to connect up there with what I was talking about, fertility issues, besides who, you know, a lot of fingers can be pointed different directions to, you know, atrazine and plasticizers. I guess they've done lab studies on plastics, chemicals, even affecting female lab rats being attracted to the males. If they're exposed to a lot of BPA or bisphenol or however, whatever it is, they get, they're not attracted to those at all. And of course, that's permeated, or the microplastics are all in the bottled water and who knows what foods and stuff. I think the phthalates or in 90% of the boxed macaroni and cheese. And, of course, I told it to some environmentalists, and they said, well, what did they think? It was organic? But people just go to the store and buy stuff. I guess they assume that the government is protecting them for some reason from social engineering in the food. But here in eastern Kentucky, we're kind of living it with this coal hole economy, the depopulation plan, I think, multi-generational depopulation plan, with these conservatorships of, ride on to the deed conservatorships where the next generation can't own the land. It's returned to the wildlands corridor. And we just had the Pike County, one of the largest, I think the largest county in Kentucky, and it's all the way to the east. They just had their bond rating dropped, and their somebody in the county resigned because of it. I can't remember the name there, but they were some financial person resigned, and of course they're citing health reasons. But we've had water infrastructure that you have to wonder if it's ever going to get replaced, and that's all you have to do is start pulling the utilities out. And then in low-key areas, you start rolling up the roads. We saw this out in out west, and people out west were protesting that when they try to, separate a county seat from part of the county by closing down a Forest Service road. And people came and dug out the berms that they had piled up with bulldozers. So it cost some people like 60 miles to drive around this roadless area to get to their county seat. I forget where that was in Colorado, but, well, that was a short segment.
Yeah.
I was talking about the coal hole economy, I guess we're done. Your show is over, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
over.
People
need to look for that stuff, I think.
Absolutely.
Long-range mega city regions that they want to move everybody to. And depopulate us. All right.
Well, thanks for your call. Please call back again. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.